Welcome back to the Levels podcast, round 23 in review. I'm James Magnusson, first time on the show filling in for Scope. I'm joined by the triple OG, Willie Mason. Scope's overseas, Willie.
Yes, Mags. You got some fucking pressure sitting there, man. He's been sending me a heap of messages going, hey, Missile better nail this. He goes, do you know Miss? Because when this first sort of come up,
yeah.
He goes, you know James Magnusson? I said, I've known him for like 5-6 years, man.
Yeah,
and he goes,
yeah.
Oh, he's going to, we're looking at him to do the show while he's over in Queenstown having a fucking good old time.
Having a ball. I saw he's still running though. Ran 20Ks on holidays. No chill.
I know. I think he went over there last Thursday or Friday or, yeah. And he ran like 20K the next day.
Beast.
And I think, because he's over there for a 40th. So he's got a good, tight-knit bunch of friends from his childhood, which is still good, and they do some random shit like this. 40th birthday. You think it'd be a wedding, right?
That's what I thought, wedding.
And it's like, no, it's a 40th.
40th.
So what the fuck do you think is going to happen over in Queenstown? Queenstown's like
mate.
The Gold Coast.
Yeah, it is.
In the snow.
Good fun. I wanted to bring up quickly before we rip into things, I saw a video of you over the weekend plying your trade as a playmaker. Putting a kick in, general play, Hulk AR. Can you talk us through that?
I actually forgot about that. I suppressed that memory. Big Barry McDermott. Shout out to Big Baz. He works for Sky over there, the English version. He put one in, and I wasn't meant to get the ball. So I'm just supposed to be in front of the kicker, right? And
Then
the nine just passed it to me. I was like, holy shit, what am I supposed to do? And I've just gone, shin kicked it pretty much over across.
Yeah.
And just shanked it, and Wellens, he just jumped straight on it and scored. Made me look good. It was against Huddersfield.
How many kicks across your career, how many general play kicks do you reckon you put in?
Oh, I reckon
few?
Easily on one hand.
Probably three or four. Is that the best? That was the best because it came off a kick.
One time against Anthony Quinn in 2004,
yeah.
I put up like, so again, in the way.
Yeah.
Right? It was the last, and I always wonder because, you know, as a middle, you don't get to do these things.
You don't get
to kick 40-20s, and all we do at training is muck around trying to kick 40-20s with a giant goal kick.
Yeah.
You just try and hone your skills a little bit at training. There's only so much hitting up and tackles you can fucking do. I put a massive midfield bomb up against Anthony Quinn, good friend of mine, Newcastle boy, played with him in Newcastle, and he dropped it. And he fucking dropped it, and I never let him live it down. And it was, so that was probably the highlight. That and probably that kick.
So that's so you're at the Bulldogs at the moment, and like you said, forwards muck around and put kicks in and stuff. Is there any forwards at the Bulldogs that can kick? Hidden talent.
Well, Arx Kicks, remember Kicks tried to put that 40-20
against
Melbourne? Against Manly round one, and he I think he kicked it out in the full. He's not in there. It's usually the locks. It's sort of like ball plays, you know? So mainly the locks can sort of kick.
Yep.
Tavita cannot kick. Luke Thompson can't kick. You're going to just go, Reid Marnie's probably our best kicker, and he's a genuine kicker. So not many of them.
It's rare. All right, check the boys out on levelsnetwork.com.au. You can register your email for updates on their clothing. There'll be a bit more dropping before finals, Willie. A couple of things coming out around potentially the Warriors trip, and you guys will give early access to subscribers on the list. So be sure to subscribe.
That'll be good. We've got some good things coming, man. Lukey Stowe, our man there, into the designing and all that kind of stuff with the hats, the hoodies, all that kind of stuff. So it's all coming. We're just going to drip feed it. We don't want to put too much out there and flood it sort of thing. We want to make it sort of quality. We want one of these podcasts that just want to go straight into merch. You know, I think Levels will be pretty good in the merch sort of area one day, but we just need to, you know, it's more about the content and building relationships and all that kind of stuff. So Lukey's right onto that sort of stuff. So, you know, the hats, hoodies, tees, we'll start off with that. You know, we're going over to New Zealand with a fair bit of gear. Should be a good trip over there. So I think that's in 2 weeks. That'll be interesting.
Nice. Because you guys get a bit of stick about Waz fans, right? I've seen a little bit of Scope online.
Well, I'm old school, right? I'm 43, so all I know is the Warriors.
And
then I get it. Like the new types of fans, you know, they want to call it Waz. So regardless, they can call them what they want. They're coming third.
What's going on with Scope and Kempy? So I saw Kempy call Scope out on his podcast saying Scope isn't on board with the Broncos or something like that. What's going on there?
I think Scope's been offered for a while.
He's off the Broncos.
And he's Kempy's an ex-Bronco, you know what I mean?
Queenslander. Yeah, he's biased as hell.
And he knows that Queensland is on a bit of a tear, so he does not want Hoz coming near the Bronx. That's what it is. Because this is going on. Yeah, this is going on for a couple of years now. So shout out to Kempy. He's always got some good content out there. I don't think he can ever jump on board that. It's all good. Anyway, we are off to 14,329 YouTube subscribers. Huge. I think we're going up and up. Usually Scope reads all the kind of shits, but I'll read it today. We're sitting at number one on the Spotify Sports Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on Apple and Spotify, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. So everything's going all right.
Flying.
It's going all right. Flying. Like, I thought at the start of the year, I'd be like, oh, fuck. You know, maybe 5,000, 10,000, something like on that, in that sort of world.
Yeah.
Like subscribers, and I watch a shitload of YouTube, but I'm not like sitting there subscribing to things.
Yeah.
Now I understand how important it is to subscribe.
Yeah.
And notifications. So make sure you subscribe, hit the notifications, all those kind of things. So, I understand the game now. Lukey's taught me well.
We've got a couple of YouTube questions come through. The first one was one of the listeners wanting to discuss training as a professional athlete. And some comparisons around what NRL players are doing, and I guess what I was doing as an athlete.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the NRL players today. How many hours they come in of the morning and leave of the night, and kind of do all their recovery, prehab, rehab, strength and conditioning, plus obviously ball work and field work in a day, like stay in at HQ all day?
Yeah, okay. Well, pretty much. Depends how good they're. Like, so a lot of clubs have got this brand new like center of excellence, all that kind of stuff. So you can't
have sex, we call them.
you can't have what we had 20 years ago at the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Because we were in and then we were out, we'd go have lunch somewhere, all that kind of stuff. But now food's catered for you.
Fully catered.
Yeah, it's all catered. They've got beds in some places. You've got all your Normatec, all your recovery. So the year's pretty much broken up into two, like into different things. So you've got 12 weeks pretty much of preseason, which is like you are there like pretty much all day. You might train off campus. Like I know the guys were doing a lot of wrestling and everything out there at Smeaton Grange.
Rob Whittaker's gym.
Rob Whittaker and Alex and all those guys. So that's out at Camden, right?
Yeah.
So they'll be out there twice a week.
Yeah.
That's a fair thing. And then you come back to Belmore. All your rehab and everything's at Belmore, your ice baths, hot and colds, all that kind of stuff, physios, doctors, your gym. Everything is at Belmore. And we aren't even nowhere near like what West Tigers have and Brisbane and all these new ones. So that's why I think we're in the middle of building something. I think in 2026, it'll be all right. It'll be building that.
They've got on location?
Yeah, on location, not right at the back, on the other side of the hill, and it'll be like three. It'll be crazy. Yeah. Just looking over the soccer fields. So you get through the – preseason is the hardest, right?
Yeah,
then once you get
into
the season, it's broken down a little bit more. Yeah. More methodically, you've got all your data from all your fitness levels and everything. Yeah. Everyone knows where you get at. So it's very sports science at the moment, which is great because, you know, you've got guys who are 10-year vets, you know, a 2-year vet, 15-year vet, 5 years. So they're all in different categories. And that's why guys like Travis Tuma, who's like – he's our – head of S&C, he's probably the best in the business. He was at the Roosters for that whole 2010s and at South as well. So now at the moment, during the year, it's more like you're just sharpening your tools, right?
It's not that much
fitness to be involved, much fitness, more fitness games.
Yeah.
So you train at a high intensity all the time. You're getting all the work done in the preseason, all the longer runs, getting your aerobic sort of fitness up, all that kind of stuff, your strength base, all that kind of stuff. So in the year, all you're doing is really maintaining it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you come in, flog them a little bit, but it'll be more game stuff. It'll be all game orientated. It's not like hundreds what you used to do. We used to do Malcolm's, all that old school sort of really mentally fuck you. It's more about the game speed. You're training at like 140 steps per minute. It's like it's really intense.
Very scientific.
Yeah, it's very scientific.
Yeah.
So they know exactly what they're getting at. And that's why, like, going on to that question, like, that's why I find it hard when I see a lot of players now. I was looking at some players, they look – like overweight, like at this time of the year, it's around 23, I understand, right?
Yeah.
But like that just shows me, if I'm a coach or if I'm anyone like, and you've put on like 2 or 3, 4 kilos and you're not looking that sharp in round 23, I'm like, you're not fully invested in this shit, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that would really piss me off if I was S&C and if I was like anything to do with like the coaching and stuff like that, because the coaches don't really have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
They just fucking want you for your playing ability.
Yeah.
The S&C and that would be riding these guys pretty hard. And a lot of these guys, man, I've seen some guys from the Dolphins. I don't point out any names, man. You're not looking the best.
Yeah.
Even though they're probably thinking, oh, fuck, we're not going to make the eight subconsciously about 2-3 weeks ago. But it's up to you to be a professional at all times. You're getting paid so much money from the clubs and they expect you to stay on top of that. Your diets. This is all the one percenters. This is why you have a look. If you're picking an Australian team, you're picking your New South Wales team, Queensland team, those guys are the best athletes. You know what I mean? That's what I looked at some of these players like over the weekend. I'm like, fuck, what are you doing? That's disrespectful to the club, first of all.
I agree. Yeah.
What were you like?
Well, this is
in the swimming sort of world.
This is the thing for these guys, right? And it's similar in swimming. You can only manage an athlete so much. Like, you can give them the diet, you can feed them while they're at the facility. Like, we were at the New South Wales Institute of Sport, and similar to a football team, everything was laid out for you perfectly, right?
Yeah.
But as soon as you clock off for the day and you're driving home, you got to drive past that Macca's, you got to drive past that KFC, you're driving down Parramatta Road, and there's options, there's distractions, there's, you know, there's things out there that can take you off course. As an elite athlete, I was super tuned into my body and how I was feeling and how I was competing and how I was performing. So, I found it super disrespectful for me even to turn up to training having not done those one percenters, having not ticked the boxes or not coming to training in the right physical space or headspace, or, you know, that was my job. And
it is your job, isn't it?
It's my job. And everyone out there, I used to think constantly, I've got the best job in the world.
100%.
I could be on a site right now, like laying bricks or, you know,
like it's wheeling barrows. People forget it's a privilege to play this game and to be a professional athlete.
Massive privilege, yeah.
Like, you know, you're playing with the best athletes and you get to hang out and meet so many people, and on the weekend you go to battle with your best mates and you go out there to fucking perform.
Yeah.
And like, you get to hit people for free and you don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
And you get like, you get this satisfaction of winning, going into like, you have that sort of war mentality. Obviously, it's no disrespect, the war's obviously a different level, but you have that mentality going and battle with your brothers and everything like that. Win, lose or draw, you got that satisfaction, get that dopamine hit, you get to run out into the crowd.
You
can do all these things that fucking normal people will never ever get to experience.
Yeah.
You go out there, you run out there in Origin 100,000, Suncorp, all this sort of stuff, grand finals. Like, I've done all that sort of stuff, and players get to experience that sort of stuff. It's like, it's a privilege to play.
The least
that's
you can do.
That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, the least
like
you can
when
do
you
is
come,
turn
when
up
you,
in shape.
When it's round 22 or something like that, and you're looking fucking awful.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And I'm like, who's keeping these guys in check?
And you know what I think when I see a football player out of shape? And you'll know from your own experience, when you're weighing in, when you walk around at, you know, 105, 110 kilos, for you to put on weight, for you to gain weight whilst you're exercising that
and you're
much,
burning 5,000 calories a
you
day.
You have got to be eating fucking terribly.
You are, and as I said, you're getting fed at training.
Yeah.
And like, the diet's there, they're eating the proper food every like 3 or 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And then you are still managing. You're going home and just eating absolute shit. And that shows me that you don't fucking respect yourself or the team.
No.
And if I was a head coach or anything like that, I'll be fucking first into these blokes, man. I don't want you at the club.
Yeah. Yeah. If I said to you, if you're doing the training these players were doing and you're walking around at, say, $115, 115 kilos, and I said to you, Willie, I want you to put on 5 kilos over the next 6 weeks, you'd go, how the fuck? Like, I'm burning 5,000 calories a day. What do you want me to eat? Double my diet? Like, that's insane.
Mm.
So what these players have to be eating to put on weight mid-season whilst playing
is ridiculous. So you're not eating that.
It's not an accident.
Yeah, it's not an accident,
man.
Like, and, you know, and if you are out of nick at the moment, like, man, you got it. It doesn't take that long. It's 2 or 3 weeks of dieting and just getting back to losing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, to losing that 5 or 6 kilos. It's
easy,
man.
Well, we saw Schuster has yo-yoed a couple of times, right? And you know, it's not to be rude to him, but, you know, he did yo-yo off the wrong way, but he came back super quick as well.
Yeah.
Like, they said to him, you need to go away, get fit, lose weight, and he did it because it shows how quickly he can do it.
But it shows how disciplined he is and how much he wants it.
Yeah, yeah,
some of the Dolphins players, the young kid, Valens Tafaro.
Yeah.
Like, if he's fair dinkum about his career, he's losing 10 or 12 kilos.
Yeah.
Because that kid's got a lot of talent. The only thing that's going to hold him back is his diet.
Yeah.
Like, Anthony Milford. Talent everywhere. You have a look at a photo of Anthony Milford in 2013, 14, 15, how peak conditioned he was.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see these guys get back next year, like, because he's a gun. He's still got a lot of football left in him.
Yeah.
A couple of these guys, like, throughout other clubs and stuff like that, I just question their discipline, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
And that's what it is. And it just shows me that you're not fully invested in the club. So a club's not fully going to be – a club won't fully invest in you.
Yeah.
Like, you're a professional athlete. You got to look the part.
Yeah. And that's where we're at now in sport, right? Is over the years, sport's been semi-professional, then it's professional. Now we're down to like
the 1%,
tiny margins of error.
And everyone's everyone's athletic. Everyone's getting and fitness. Such a fitness game at the moment.
Yeah.
If I've seen some young kids like when I was coaching SG Ball and going down to see him, I'm like, yeah, he's got all the fucking intangibles to be great. All this kind of stuff. It's like he's just not fit.
Yeah.
He can't get more than 10 or 15. Yeah. He can't get more than 20 minutes out in SG Ball.
Yeah.
Times that by 1,000 by the time you get to NRL.
Yeah.
You got to get me 25, 30 minutes in the middle. Yeah. Kid. You know what I mean? Can you do that?
Yeah.
You know, like some players now, like, you know, their worth goes down because they can't get over 20 minutes in the middle.
Yeah.
Like it in the middle, it is a washing machine. You've got to be able to defend it, a 95% effective tackler. You've got to be able to find your front. You've got to be running like a fucking truck. You've got to have footwork. You've got to have football IQ. You've got to tick all these boxes before you even get to first grade. Or before you even dominate first grade. A lot of these kids get picked on their talent when they come through the system and they're like, oh, he's 6'4", he fits a prototype player, look, offload like Sonny Bill, all that kind of shit, like in SG Ball.
Yeah.
It gets fucking harder and harder, kid.
It gets
harder and harder. You get the jersey flag there, 21s, so you get reserve grade. And then you get to 20, then you get to first grade. There's a big, big jump from reserve grade to first grade. See, a lot of guys kill reserve grade. They don't go back and they dominate the shit out of it.
Yeah.
They get to first grade. Can barely even make a fucking line break. They can barely dominate a tackle.
Yeah.
There's such a jump because the NRL is the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Reserve grade, it's not reserve grade anymore. You know, it's just a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
You're going to have like your guys from Jersey Flegg coming in reserve grade like 19, 20 years old. We just say 20 years ago, you had guys that are playing 200 games, 150 games, you know, proper vets back playing reserve grade. Now it's sort of like, you know, it's just the quality of players aren't there. Everybody who was unreal is in the NRL. And that's all the little things, man.
With those one percenters and stuff, I always see in sport it's a trickle down. And it usually starts in America in professional sports and trickles down. So what's big there, recovery, that trickles down to Australia. Yeah. We start doing ice bars, cryotherapy, all that stuff. It trickles down. What I reckon I've seen over the past 10 years is the gap between NFL players and NRL players.
It's coming closer.
It's getting closer. NRL players are real athletes now.
Proper athletes.
Yeah.
You put a football IQ in there, put some fitness in there, and you dominate the game.
Yeah.
You do. Like if you understand the game, if you're a big, just say like a Fanua Blake, a Tal Malolo, all these guys, big, strong, athletic. Tal Malolo couldn't get more than 20 minutes in when he first started, 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
Ended up going back to reserve grade, went back to the lab, got fitter.
Yeah.
Got fitter. He hasn't got smaller. He's still a tank. he ain't got smaller, but he can play the game and he's probably the best forward in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Fanua Blake got fitter. You know, all these big guys. Payne Haas, what's his best attribute? He runs like a fucking horse. He's a beast, but he's fit. He'll give you 75 minutes in the middle.
Yeah.
Carrigan, 70 minutes, 80 minutes in the middle. All these big athletic guys with half a brain of rugby league, they're the best forwards in the game.
Yeah.
If you're not fit, you'll just get found out.
All right, YouTube questions. Boys, just a question I've always wondered about. What's it like playing for a team that you didn't necessarily grow up supporting? Does it ever feel bittersweet being on a different team? Says Kurt Dell.
Kurt Dell won. Not really. I think, you know, playing
for
I didn't like the Bulldogs when I grew up.
You were Knights?
I was St. George. My old man made me go for St. George.
Okay.
And Knights and Canberra were second and third. My dad hated Canterbury. So if he was alive when I had to make that situation, he'd have made me go to St. George.
Okay.
100%.
Yeah.
So I end up, obviously, I love the Bulldogs now. Love the Knights. So playing for the Knights wasn't foreign for me. North Queensland, never really hated North Queensland. I didn't like Manly when I was older. So I ended up playing 1 year of Manly. But like at that stage, I was 35 years old. I was already established. I'm like, you know, I've been in the game. It's my 16th year in the game.
Yeah.
16th, 17th year. And it doesn't really matter. Once you have that, and once, you know, if you got pride in yourself, you're not really going to care about the jersey. You go, oh my God, I hate Manly. It's like, fuck you. You don't even care what jersey you have on.
Yeah.
It's pride in your performance.
Yeah.
So you're never really going to let a jersey dictate, oh my God, I fucking hate, like, you don't even go for a team when you play in the NRL. So all those thoughts, like just say, if you're a fan probably thinking, oh, he doesn't like this club, if he said it out loud.
Yeah.
Because you got these interviews of you 10, 15 years ago, fuck, I hate Manly. Like, oh, now you're playing for Manly. It's like, so what?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
you see it quite a bit as well, right? Roosters and Souths hate each other, but they play a swap.
Brian all Fletcher.
The
time.
Crichton goes across, Latrell goes across. They still kill it.
There's not that much hatred in the game towards clubs anymore.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s, 80s and 90s, I don't think you'd ever see not much of it. But Ronnie Coote, the great Ron Coote, played for both.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer in both clubs. So, you know, when you see guys like that who did the South and the Roosters, like, yeah, you're like, fuck, Ronnie Coote did it. I'm doing it.
All right, time for our body science dogs.
All right. Speaking of body science, have you tried the cookies and cream low-carb mousse bar?
Ooh, beautiful.
A bar that defies expectations with every bite delivering layers of award-winning multi-protein, delightful crumbly texture and a mousse filling. Body science low-carb protein mousse bars. Every protein bar lover's dream. With protein in every layer plus 3 grams of collagen per bar, snack happy and satisfy those sweet cravings with these delicious bars. Wow, that was a mouthful. BSC Mousse Bars are currently available in Woolworths, Chemist Warehouse, online, bodyscience.com.au and in independent supplement retailers. Anyway, on to our dogs of the week.
Who's yours, Willie?
Well, there was a few. Last week I said there wasn't that. There's always performers, but there wasn't like proper dogs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't go past, and I always say it. You got to think of the competition that you're playing, right?
Yeah.
Broncos and Cowboys was, I think, one of the best games
of the
round, and you know they got some. You got some proper big dogs on both sides. You know, Payne Haas is out there. Flegler. You got Taumalolo. All these guys. They're going at it, and you know the Cowboys had to win, but the Broncos had Paddy Carrigan. He was playing lock. He was back in the middle. I think he moved out to the edge a little bit later in the game. But 80 minutes, 17 hit-ups, 164 metres gained, 46 metres post-contact, 2 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks, got a try, 40 tackles, 2 misses. So that's like over 95% effective tackling. He's an absolute beast, man. I can't wrap him up. He's the best 13 in the game. Yeah. Isaiah Yeo wasn't far behind.
Yeah.
He's on one. They're on another level, those two.
You know, they do that thing online, pick one, bench one, cut one.
Yeah.
If I gave you Carrigan, Yo, Murray right now, pick one, bench one, cut one.
I'm picking Carrigan. I'm benching. Oh, what am I going to do? I can't cut Cameron Murray or Yo. Wow. I'll cut Yo and I'll bench.
Yeah,
because I think Carrigan and Yowie are pretty similar.
Mm.
So
yeah,
and I'm benching Cam Murray, but yeah, Carrigan's he's an unbelievable player at the moment. He's got ball skills. He can tough it out. He'll bang you in defence. He leads all the kick chases. He's one of the form forwards.
We're in the age of 13s, aren't we? In the age of locks. Yeah. If I was starting a club, I reckon the first position I'd sign would be a gun lock.
Yeah.
One of those three.
Yeah,
$1 million easy. My dog of the week is Kalyn Ponga.
Mm.
They didn't look great against the Dolphins. We'll get to that bit later. But KP, 179 metres, 2 try assists, 1 try, 8 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks, 2 line break assists, and an offload just for fun.
He looked there. Yeah, and that's not even giving him like what you see the eyeball test. Those stats don't give him.
Yeah.
He was dominant. Absolutely dominant everywhere. Everything he touched. Defensively,
I always have mixed feelings on KP at the moment because I watch him playing fullback and go killing it. Adam O'Brien job safe now that's happened. But then I go, like, who in their right mind put him at 5'8"?
No. I heard it was his choice. I'm not going to, don't quote me on that. Yeah, I'll give you the same.
I'd heard that
start
as well.
One, bench one, cut one.
Yeah.
KP, Walsh, and Edwards.
Start KP, bench Walsh, cut Edwards.
Ooh. Ooh, straight
If I was picking an Australian team right now.
Or Teddy in there said Edwards.
Sorry, Teddy, love you. I've got to cut you.
Yeah, shit. On form. We're only going off form,
yeah,
boys.
On form.
This is not the whole body of work.
Yeah, no, whole career, Teddy, just settle is down. The start. Yeah, yeah. All right, first topic to kick us off, we're going to talk send-offs. This was, it's just, who knows what's going on at the moment. So Nathan Brown sent off. On Thursday night after the high shot on Ben Trbojevic. Then since been given a one-match ban. Fodawaker sent off. He's been given a one-match ban. Tom Burgess, sin bin, 3-match ban, 4 if he fights it. And then Luai, who copped Nelson Asofa-Solomona clear in the head with his arm tucked, leaves the ground.
Mm.
No sin bin, no suspension, fine only. I think it was like $1,000. Go figure.
Inconsistency, right? I mean, like, if you just go off the eyeball test and you're like, ooh, Nathan Brown's was brutal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Leaving, if you're going off all those things, leaving the ground, shoulder to the head.
Yeah.
Then Mo Fodawaker, Mo Fodawaker just ran. He didn't change levels or anything. He just ran. It was just shoulder to the head.
Yeah.
Nickel Klokstad was stepping a little bit. He lowered a little bit, I think Klokstad did.
Yeah.
But it was still shoulder to the head.
Yeah.
You know, like where if you're going to rush out of the line like Brownie did, I love his intent and everything, but you've got to get that shit right, man, because you can fucking kill someone like that.
Yeah.
You know, like the intent that he had and the aggression he had to try and hit young Ben Trbojevic was fucking good night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, imagine what happens if he breaks – the young kid got through unscathed. What happens if he breaks his jaw or fractures his eye socket?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're trying to get away from, right?
Yeah.
You've got these rules in place and you don't want shoulder to the head. But if I'm a fucking player, I just got a week off.
Mm.
If I'm embedded in the eight, right, and I had a week off right now, I'm fucking happy days.
Yeah.
You know, like just get to sharpen up a little bit, just have a little bit of a rest. But you got one match. Mo Fodawaker, that was brutal as well.
Yeah.
Like, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for someone to be like injured and a broken jaw, a fractured eye socket? Like, why do we have to go to that? Like, are we waiting for that? It's shoulder to the head with intent.
Mm.
Like, that's what we're trying to get out of the game.
Yep.
But you just give like little fucking slaps on the wrist and fines. Luai, I get it. I didn't think there was much in it. But if you go off the rules, he left the ground and it was shoulder to the head. It's just because Nelson is fucking 6'8" and 150 kilos and he didn't budge. But what if he hits Sam Walker? Or what if Nas hit Sam Walker like that with the same intent? Sam Walker's got a crushed head.
Yeah.
I'm just picking any little fella out or a Ponga or anything like that.
Yeah.
A Kiri. If a big guy hits a little guy, they're fucked and you get thrown the book at.
Yeah.
Right? Ben Trbojevic, big boy, copped the hit, kept on fucking pushing.
Yeah.
But if he gets knocked out cold, what are we looking at there? Do we have to knock someone out cold and do we have to break their jaw? Do you have to severely injure someone to get like a decent suspension? Or do we look at the rules and go shoulder to the head 3 to 4 weeks?
Mm.
You sent him off.
And you give him 1 week.
You sent him off.
Yeah.
And I'm just I'm all for like I don't mind like I love the aggression. I love the hits.
Yeah.
I think Nathan Brownie's one was more fucking bicep.
Yeah.
Ish, chesty sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But Mo's wasn't.
That was shoulder.
Mo's was full shoulder.
Yeah, yeah.
But like he didn't dip and he didn't power through. He kept running. So just say if Chance was running and he kept the same sort of level, I think he still would have hit him in the head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like clean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, and that's just shoulder straight on his head. And there's no, I mean, you do not. None of these players intend to hit you in the head with their shoulder.
Yeah.
They don't. But if you fucking, this is obviously it's a brutal game, and it's just that inch off, your timing's off. You could actually make some proper damage. What did Tom Burgess do?
He copped Hazelton in the head again, rushed
big
out.
Tom.
But it was it was more arm.
That was bullshit, and he got 3 weeks.
3 weeks minimum.
That was fucking chest.
Yeah,
he hit him with his chest.
Yeah.
Hazelton's 6 foot fucking 8'2".
Yeah.
That was a great hit. So you go off that. I'm just like, this is what the pisses like ex-players off, current coaches, current players. You're just like, how the fuck do you go Nathan Brown 1 week, Mo Fodawaker 1 week, Tom Burgess 3. I know there's carryover points and all that sort of shit and all that kind of stuff, but you go, whose is the less like – less violent one.
Yeah.
Luai's not even, I wouldn't even look at it, but you look at the, you know, but you look at Tom Burgess. Burgess was just a fucking big hit.
Yeah.
The other two, very questionable.
With those other two, so prior to Nathan Brown, there'd been one other send-off all year. It was round two, Jacob Saifidi against the Tigers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So would you say Nathan Brown and Mo Fodawaker were the second worst tackles of the year, or is this a crackdown? Have the NRL come out and said,
this is
getting a bit loose, like let's start sending people off?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. They all sit around their little table, the refs, and just go, what's got a little bee in their bonnet? We want to like start sending some people off.
Yeah.
Just so this we don't get aggressive at all.
Yeah.
Don't make this don't you dare make this game aggressive when it's the most aggressive game in the fucking world. What are you trying to do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, 10 minutes in the bin, it would have been all right. I would have been happy with that.
Or if that's a send-off, then every week that's a send-off.
But we've seen shoulders to the head.
Yeah, we've seen worse stuff. I mean, the worst thing I've seen all season was Marty Tapau raising his knee into Campbell Graham's chest.
Yep.
10 in the bin. And then I saw Nathan Brown. I was like, oh, that's unlucky. 10 in the bin. And he goes, send off.
Mm.
Second of the year.
Yeah. And I saw when Mo got dumped for that and they slowed it down, he was like, oh, he's gone.
He's in trouble.
I feel sorry for these players because getting sent off in the game is awful.
Yeah.
You know, you're letting your whole team down and everything like that. Like Brownie's been on for fucking 2 minutes. Yeah. Mo was on for 17 minutes and like you let your whole team down.
And Mo's kind of wrecked the contest, didn't it? Because the Titans could have won that.
Yeah, they were in it. They were right in it. And I just think it's just that's what does your head in as a former player. And just anyone who even plays the game, supporters, fans, whatever, you're like, why is it so inconsistent?
If you're at training this week, I would sit the players down and say, we've got a crackdown on our hands.
No.
They wouldn't mention it.
No.
Yeah,
it's because you cannot train. I mean, you don't train for shit like that. All you're trying to do is make a fucking play. Yeah. You're trying to make a play. Like Foddawaker's come out of the line trying to stop Klokstad. He doesn't want to hit him in the head.
Mm.
He tried to, like, you got to get your timing right, guys. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah.
Like Nathan Brown was trying to inspire his fucking team. It just went wrong.
Yeah.
It just went wrong.
Yeah.
But nothing was a send off. Like if that's a swinging arm and you hit someone in the head, send off.
Yeah.
But when it's shoulder and you sort of got that and it's just a matter of like these guys like Benchavoy's about 6'4", maybe he come down a little bit. You know what I mean? Like could have hit him in the chest. He bent down a little bit, bang. But when you do stuff like Brownie, when you come flying out from the third man, from three out, you got to have that shit perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where Foddawaker was just coming straight through. Foddawaker didn't even lower anything. He didn't dip. He just went straight through him.
Mm.
It would have been different if Klokstad was 6'4".
Yeah.
He would have caved him, you know. But Tom Burgess one did my head in.
Yeah.
And it's probably, you know, he's got 3 weeks now.
3 weeks. And South need him. All right, this was a funny one during the week. So Jerome Luai and Michael Carayannis have had a little set too. Carayannis has come out on this Telegraph podcast and he's told the story about an incident he had with Jerome Luai. So he bumped Jerome Luai at the airport. He asked him about his behavior. He said, Jerome, you're not a dickhead, but why do you act like one, right, when you post that stuff? Proceeding that, Jerome then brushes him for interviews and refuses to do any media work with Carayannis. He's called him a gronk. And then Carayannis has spoken about this on the podcast. Luai's done a post on Insta. It's got a picture of Carayannis.
With a rat?
With a rat crying. Ooh. With a big
Ratatouille gronk. Rat?
Yeah, Ratatouille. How do you feel about Jerno speaking to players like that? Like he's essentially called him a dickhead, right?
Fucking hate it. He deserves everything he got just then. Who do you think you are? You're not a dickhead. Why are you acting like a dickhead? What, just because of his post after Origin?
Mm.
Like, well, how's that a dickhead? He's saying his feelings. Like, how's that dickhead action? Like, how's that? I don't know. Like,
has a journalist ever said anything like that?
The fuck
like
is this bloke? No, because he would get that material as well.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you would do that. Like, I don't know who this bloke is. Was he with the Telegraph or something?
Yeah, he's with the Telegraph. He's on 360. So would you, if a journalist, so Carayannis thinks.
He's indirectly calling him a dickhead, right?
Yeah, Carayannis is saying, I haven't called him a dickhead. I said, you've been acting like a dickhead, but he's.
Why would he say the word dickhead, right?
Yeah.
What if it's not what you say, it's how you say it, right?
Yeah.
If you say, look, I know you're a good bloke, mate. You know, why are you acting up like this and, you know, posting stuff? How about you put it like that? You're a journo.
Is it getting a bit matey?
I'm not your fucking mate. Yeah. You're a journo. I'm a player. You report on what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah.
And you come up to me with that sort of energy, especially like in that situation. Like most players just get a little bee in their bonnet and go, nah, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like that's just absolutely no awareness and no people skills.
Yeah. During your career, are there journalists that you could talk to on that basis, or is it all a bit too close while you're playing and it's not until you retire?
I was all good with most journos are pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, but they be careful how they word things when they come up to you, right? That's just about being a decent person and asking proper questions. They could ask that. He could ask that question 1,000 different ways, but he had to put in dickhead. What do you think, we're mates? You want to hang out? You want to go get a beer after this, Carayannis? Not a fucking chance.
Yeah.
So treat the players with respect. If you think that you deserve respect, they deserve respect.
Yeah.
Don't come up with that sort of energy, especially with a guy like Luai. You don't give a shit about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's going to, and look at him now, like puts Gronk and all his mates are sticking up for it. And this guy's getting like, I never ever heard of this bloke. And now everyone's just calling him that. All the, you know, heap of reposts from all the Penrith boys. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was hilarious. But like, there's ways to do things, mate, how to conduct business. You do not say that to a young player.
You know what's funny in reverse? So journalists are usually writing this about athletes, right? And now it's flipped and he's copping heat on social media. Well,
yeah, he's copping there. Look, you don't come up to a journalist and say, why are you such a dickhead for? Why are you writing stuff like a dickhead? Like, imagine if you said that exactly to him.
Any publicity is good publicity. We'll find out now it's been turned on the journos.
Yeah, they start getting a little bit sensitive, don't they?
They don't take it well.
Look at it. Oh. The crying and the fucking rat. Oh, God.
It's, I love Lil White.
And this is what I love about today's age, right?
Yeah.
You know, 15 years ago, you couldn't do shit.
No.
He's going to call you dickhead and you've got no platform to say anything. Lua's got 300,000 followers and they all love him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's got a fucking crew behind him. He's got a team that love him to death. And like, you come at him, you come at all these boys, and he can go on any platform he wants to do. Mm. He's got enough on his own platform to control his own narrative.
Yeah. It's one good thing about the current media landscape. Like, as an athlete and a player now, I don't envy them in that nothing is private. They have no private life anymore. But they also have a voice where if someone's talking shit about you, you can give your side, which never used to be. I mean, how many times would people have come up to you and said, oh, I thought you were a fuckwit, but now I've listened to you, you're not? And I get that all the time too.
Yeah.
They go, what were you judging me based off? Oh, well, I read this article by, and you go, well, fuck.
I read a headline.
Yeah.
Like, come on, have some, like,
yeah.
Be a decent person. There's not a chance. And that's what makes you smarter too as a person. When you read stuff about anyone, I'm just like, I'm not taking that.
Yeah.
I'm not taking what you said about him.
Yeah.
Like, when I heard this guy say that, I was like, oh. And this is before the response from Luai. I'm like, oh, what a fuckwit.
Yeah.
Like, that's my first thing. It's like, why would you call him a dickhead?
Yeah.
You come at me with that sort of energy, you're fucking getting it back. And that was me without any platform back in the 2000s. Who are you calling a dickhead, mate?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
All right. Let's get into game reviews. Massive round, a couple of upsets in there, a couple of big upsets, but we'll start off Roosters and Manly. So Roosters defeat Manly 26-16. Looked like about half a dozen people in the crowd for this one. But Roosters are a mathematical chance. As soon as you start saying mathematical, they're basically fucked. But
yeah, they did.
Roosters are a mathematical chance.
They fucked my whole perfect round up.
Really?
Because I backed the Eagles. Because it's Scope's fault. I got everything else right.
Yeah, okay.
Picked it all.
Have they left their run too late? Or?
Yes, they have. They are a mathematical chance. The Roosters, I don't – like, even if they did make it, I don't think they'd go anywhere. I don't think anyone's coming near the Panthers and the Broncos, to be honest.
So those bottom half of the top eight are just making up the numbers?
Yeah, pretty much.
So for Manly –
man. I like the Roosters, but, I mean, like, you just needed – they needed this sort of form 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 weeks ago even. I thought they were going to make a bit of a run. Victor Radley, you know, Brandon Smith. They got the players. If I had told you those players are in – all in one team and they're not even going to make the eight, you'd be very disappointed.
Crazy. If Manly had won this game, they would have been in the top eight. So it's a missed opportunity for them.
And that's what got me going for Manly.
Yeah.
Thinking they have way more to play for and I'm just like, what are they doing? It was very disappointing.
All right, second game, we had Titans 18 defeated by Warriors 28. As we said, Mo Fodawaker gets sent off, has a pretty big impact on the game. The scoreline blew out a little bit at the end, but this was 18-all. This was tight.
Sean Johnson. Is he going to win the Dally M? What do you reckon? You follow it very closely.
I follow it closely. Yeah, I reckon he will. I reckon he pulled 3 points in this game. Is it still 3-2-1?
I think they double six. It now. Lukey, they get 6-0. So I reckon he's collected
six
in the
points.
Last 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I think he's collected nearly six a game.
Yeah. Beyond that, I don't think Warriors lose a game in the run home. So if the Broncos or the Panthers stumble or rest players at any given point, I think Warriors finish top two and get that first week home semi.
Fuck, that's going to be hard, man. That could be. I look at Sean Johnson. I look at his footy IQ, and I like one play stood out, and they were under the pump. I think the Titans were ahead.
Yeah,
and they got to the middle of the field, right? So you're going to have a 5-5 split. He knew that the young kid Campbell was at eight,
mm-hmm.
and he knew Fifita was at left four. And he knows that they call it ghosting, the fullback ghost. They come up for a little bit and they fucking try and cover straight away.
Gotcha.
He catches a ball, lightning ball from Egan's in ridiculous form as
well. Yeah, isn't he?
So he catches a ball outside Fifita automatically. on the out. It looks like he's going out, and he just changes direction that quick, steps off his right, boom. Campbell, Fifita already coming off a line sidewards, straightens him up straight away, and just he scored that try. That, to me, is a player who's just on fire, and he's seen a lot of shit before anyone else. And then that other, that DWZ try, when he put him through the line break, he got the, who'd he get? See, he got Fifita again.
Yeah.
Got him, he got him coming up, boom, palm, gave it to DWZ, goes all the way. And that ball from DWZ around the corner.
So good.
Woo! That was fire. That was ridiculous. And I love that hair style because I swear to God, he's curling that shit.
You reckon he's going to perm?
He has to. He's getting it permed.
See, Scope reckons he isn't.
I reckon his missus, like, I don't know, I reckon he's putting, you know, like my mum used to put like the little rolls in his hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
like,
we're going to be over here in a couple of weeks. I want to see, I want to have a chat to D-Dub. He was at the Bulldogs there. I love that man. He's one of the greats in the NRL. But I love seeing how good he's playing. I love seeing how good the Warriors are playing. Fenua Blake is out of this world. I think he's going to get Dalian probably the year, him and Payne Haas, because I think they picked two now.
Yeah.
He's unstoppable in the middle, man. His post-contact meters, I'm not even going to look at him. I'm thinking they're about 80 meters.
Yeah, it's a huge game. So probably the only thing missing from that game from the Warriors, felt like they could have blown them out at any given point, but they're having a bit of trouble with handling errors and they're just a bit
clunky. They come off the bye and they come off the bye. Usually you can come out of the bye, like energy-wise, they were really good.
Yeah.
But fundamentals-wise, they fucked up. Because usually they've been very good on completions and everything like that this year.
Yeah.
So it's out of character.
Yeah.
Old Warriors, you'd be like, yeah, that's just the Warriors. This ain't that team. So they fixed it and they were good enough still. Even though they had 12 men, they were still good enough to put it to bed.
So if they can finish second, mate, they'll get two home semis.
That's fucking awful. If you're tough playing trip them over there. So I think they're going to win, what, their last four games? Or do they have a bye involved in that?
No, they've had their bye, so they've got four easy clubs now. Yeah. I think they've got Bulldogs, Tigers. It's an easy run.
I think Melbourne might slip out, right?
Yeah.
So I think the Warriors are going to be hard to beat. They're going to get two home games.
Question for the Warriors fans.
Yeah.
If you have a home semi, do you go Mount Smart, which is like 20-odd thousand? 25. Or do you go on Eden Park and go 60,000? Because they'd sell
this
out.
This is when they go rugby union and rugby league.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it might be a little bit of a discrepancy there. But I think if it's that do or die one, just say that first one and just say they get the second one.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm going to Eden Park.
Eden Park,
50,000 and they will pack it out.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll actually ask that question when we're over there.
Yeah.
To the where CEO or something like that. Would you take it to Eden Park?
Well, the thing about this, the semis is it doesn't – so one argument would be, you get more tickets at Eden Park, so you make more money off it. But all the ticket sales for the finals go straight to the NRL. Yeah,
so I don't think it cares.
So maybe they just stay at Mount Smart. What's more of a fortress? Probably Mount Smart.
Mount Smart. They'll have a blackout night. I remember playing a couple of those where they just have everybody dressed in black.
Yeah.
It's the most fucking intimidating thing in the world.
Yeah, I bet.
If you play there and it's going to be a Saturday night or a Friday night, whatever it is, you're going to be in for it because they come at you, the Warriors now.
Yeah,
they got that team, man. They got that swag. Yeah, it's good. It's great for the game, man. Yeah. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah. All right. Third game of the week was the Panthers and the Storm.
Oh, no. Was it Friday night?
Friday night. Panthers Storm. Jesus. Top of the table clash. It kind of got wrecked with Jerome Hughes pulling out, Xavier Coates pulling out. That took a bit out of the contest.
Massively.
But the Panthers, they just – have we ever seen a more dominant club side?
I haven't seen a more dominant side. I put on Twitter, I just said they are relentless. And when you're at the start of the year and you're going through everything and about what you want to stand for, and like you see two words usually come up. It's like ruthless and relentless. That's what you want to be known as.
Yeah.
And they are fucking both.
Yeah.
They are both. They don't care, man. They are just relentless. They go through their sets. They kick it to you on purpose pretty much so they can beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Guys like Fisher, Harrison, Leota.
Yeah.
They just go after it, man. Mitch Kenny's a beast, man. He's the most underrated player. I thought they were going to miss Appy really big. And then I was just thinking, you know, it might take him about, 15, 20 games. Probably took him less to get acclimated to the way that he plays and the amount of minutes that he's playing.
Yeah.
Because that Luke kid, Sonny Luke, he's not playing that many minutes.
What do you think they do with Sonny Luke? So they keep putting him on the bench, but he played 7 minutes.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, well, if he's playing at this higher level, which Kenny, because that's what they'll probably down in. Can he get through 70 minutes, 60, 70 minutes of quality minutes? And he can. Because last year, Appy was doing the same for him. He was only getting that. He was getting limited minutes, so it took him a while to get his match fitness up. But he's their spiritual leader, man. Isaiah Yeo was outstanding.
Yeah.
Fisher Harris, Leota. I think Leota's been starting off the bench because that young Smith kid's been starting. Liam Martin's a dog. Sorensen, Luai, Cleary, Crichton, like everybody, To'o, everybody just you can rarely pick a standout, can you?
Because
everybody plays.
I couldn't find a dog of the week in their team because they're so
everyone's
good.
Everyone's an 8 out of 10.
Yeah. Yep.
Every one of their starters is an 8 out of 10. You might get an 8.5, 9 from a Cleary or some. I think Isaiah Yeo was probably their best player. He was close to dog of the week because he was outstanding. I just think they're going to be so hard to beat. I don't see anyone getting near him other than Brisbane.
If you can get 80 minutes out of a Mitch Kenny, would it be worth swapping a Sonny Luke for a Peachy? As like a more versatile player because he can fill in the back line.
And he can play 9 as well.
Yeah.
And he's a way better defender.
Yeah.
So if you are getting those quality minutes out of Mitch Kenny, which he is, you're probably looking at Sonny Luke going, you know what? And because Peachy's going to be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think he was killing it for them before.
He was.
He was really killing it. And I think he's a full deck of cards for Panthers. He's in the 17 somewhere.
Mm.
And if you've got a guy like and because he's way more versatile than Sonny Luke, way better defender, Sonny Luke can only play 9. He could probably play in the half somewhere. Peach can play everywhere, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the Storm? What do you think of the Storm?
Well, the thing about the Storm, I mean, once
– Jerome Hughes is massive.
Once Hughes is out, I was like, the contest is over. But the big thing for the Storm, so – Pappenhausen played 40 minutes
for
Sunshine Coast. Apparently played really well. All reports coming out of Melbourne is that he's flying in training. He's at full speed, change of direction, fine. Contact, fine. Is 40 minutes enough to bring him back in now at 14 and start to play him off the bench?
Yeah.
I mean, Nick
Meaney's
probably
not going to start him.
Not yet.
Or does he play, try and get him about 60 minutes out, 65 minutes out, with another game in Q Cup? It's hard, right? Because you're going to go from Q Cup to NRL and everyone's going to be firing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big, big drop going back there.
Would they target him?
Yeah, you'd be kicking to him all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, he shattered his kneecap. So, like, you know, what sort of power is he going to have, you know, after that initial contact? Can he drive through it? Mm. Can he step off both feet? Is he going to be that dynamic in the ruck? Is he going to try and run through people?
Yeah.
There's a lot of doubt. You know, he's been out for over 12 months now. Oh, I want to see him come back into the NRL and not really miss a beat. Maybe get the last 2 games, maybe play, just say another game, and then another game off, a couple off the bench for Melbourne, and then start the last 2 and then sort of like hopefully gradually get in there and build some confidence. But, you know, I feel sorry for him coming back at this part of the year when everybody is fucking pumped.
Yeah,
and they've got match fitness. I remember doing this in 2005. I didn't come back to around 21.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just like, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, and he relies on his speed.
Just on the Sunny Coast, did you see the footage? So Justin Olam played for the Sunny Coast as well.
Oh, my God.
And he killed someone. The Falcons were playing, I believe it was the Ipswich Jets. The Jets feed a scrum. They pass out to their center, and Olam comes flying out.
So if you're right side center, and you know Olam's their left, you are quick hands.
The poor bloke probably had to work another job that morning. He got cut in half by Justin Olam.
And Olam would have been back there pissed
off. An angry Olam.
Like, I want to be back in first grade. And he probably will be back. He probably will be back this week.
Yeah, so that's when I look at the Storm side. If Pappenhausen fires and they bring him back in, then you can kind of probably shuffle the back line a bit to fit Meaney in. Mm. You bring Olam back in.
They need a full deck to actually have it to be a threat.
Yeah.
You know, Jerome Hughes is a top 3 halfback in the game.
Yeah.
Xavier Coates is a top 5 winger.
Yeah.
Pap, when he's good, he's a top 5 fullback. You're not going to get that from him.
Yeah.
Olam, Dally M Center of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. Like,
what is it? Is it form?
I think he's reading defenses wrong.
Yeah, okay.
He was busted from the start. He had a broken arm from the start of the year.
Okay.
So he's been playing busted all year.
Yeah.
Making some wrong decisions defensively where he's probably the best defender in the game.
Mm.
But he's just misreading it a little bit. So, you know, this will be just a little bit of a wake-up call. Belly don't give a shit, mate. He'll drop anyone.
Yeah. All right, on to the Cowboys-Broncos. Broncos 30, defeat Cowboys 14. Again, This game seesawed, didn't it?
Yeah.
Cowboys look good, then Broncos look good, then Cowboys came back. Broncos dominant in the end. As you said, your dog of the week, Pat Carrigan. Yeah. All I could think when I saw Pat Carrigan score that try, that was the second of his career. Hmm. Watching it going, he should have scored 20 of these things.
Because he runs that line so good. But what do you see there? You see the play from young Walters, right?
Yeah.
There's no way that he should be able to get past the markers and even get to B defender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's terrible, terrible defense. Is Lukey coming in?
No,
he got all right. So when you look at defenses like that, when it's online, you got one marker there, right?
Yeah.
And then you got A, B, and C. He went in between B and C. But he should never ever have got there. It was a great line, brave line. But like, you've got to get it. You've got to get it, Billy Walters. He did a great job because he went straight across field and then he straightened up. It was great nine play. Cameron Smith used to do it all the time. So he's been coming on leaps and bounds, young Billy Walters.
Was he the last missing piece of the puzzle for the Broncos?
I think
so. A dominant hooker.
I don't think the Broncos need a Damian Cook, a Harry Grant. Because of the forward pack that they have are so dominant and they're ball hogs, right?
Yeah.
They want the ball. Yeah. I'm not saying they're hogs. You know, they're ball hogs. They just want the ball. It just reminds me when I was playing, you had Roy, you had Ogre, you had Sonny, you had Rennie, you had Bobcat, you had Pricey.
Yeah.
We all want the fucking ball.
Yeah.
So I don't want the hooker taking all my meters.
Taking those
runs. You know what I mean? You come out. Corey Hughes and Adam Perry were the best nines.
Yeah.
Because they'd hit like trucks. Just delivered darts, know when to take the markers, know when to do all these right plays because they knew how everyone played. Reminds me of Billy Walters a little bit. He knows when to run. He knows when to pass. If you know, when guys like Ogre used to run, skittle both markers and Sonny and that, boom, you just run, attack. And that's what they got going now. You got Payne Hush, you got Flegler, you got Carrigan.
Yeah.
This fucking three-headed monster there. Flegler's good, man. Flegler wants that.
It's a big signing for the Dolphins. So is this the side that could beat...
This is the only side that can beat Penrith.
Yeah, I agree.
Even Cowboys, I think Cowboys, I said last week, they're going to miss that, the opportunity of like the Sky's try-scoring opportunity. Nanai, Holmes.
Yeah.
They've got that X factor, man. When you give them a ball, Nanai can bang you off a right, left step, right flick. You know, he's got offloads everywhere. He's an option in the air when you cross kick. You know what I mean? Like, I think Lukey played pretty well.
Yeah, he did.
The young kid, he's been out for like, a couple of months, and he's Hylam Luke. He's a gun. I reckon he's a gun. So he'll fit in next week, pretty good. But the Broncos are hard, man, because you got guys like Staggs, and you got Herbie Farmworth, and you got Ezra Mann. He's the
killing
king.
It.
And you don't even have Reynolds. Reynolds is the little master, man. Yeah, so you got to understand that. I know they didn't have Nanai or Val Holmes, but you got a young kid. Who's the seven that comes?
Jock Madden.
Fucking hell. And he still do a job on the Cowboys up there in a fucking like a rivalry game where the Cowboys had to win and they still got the job done. So I look at that and just go, yeah, man. And I think they're still carrying that that hunger and that in their guts, like fuck last year when they lost those games and they missed out on the eight. They're like, that's what's driving them right now.
Yeah.
They might fucking run the table.
Yeah. So on the other hand, so the Broncos humming, obviously, Cowboys, they find themselves in 10th.
Ooh.
They're in a proper struggle now for the eight. That dropped game against the Titans has huge ramifications.
They could be coming 7th now, couldn't they?
Yep.
6th or 7th?
Yep, 7th.
Yeah, so, I don't think the Broncos feel bad. But losing that one against the Titans, they would have thought, no Tino.
Yeah.
A couple of players out.
Yep.
We've got a full deck of cards. We're going to run it. The Titans, mate, they showed up.
Yeah. So the Cowboys, they've got a bye this week, so that helps. But then they got the Sharks, which is –
that's going to be – look, no the guarantee. Sharks, we're going to get to the Sharks soon. Yeah. But, like, hey, all these games are like semifinals.
Yep. Then they've got the Dolphins away. Dolphins looking to upset teams on the way home. They finish with the Panthers in Penrith.
See, that's what I'm saying. You got all these teams. Just say, even the Bulldogs, we can't make the finals now. You think we don't want to win the last four games?
Yeah.
You think we don't want to fucking ruin someone's hopes? Do you know what I mean?
Like,
as if we're not going to do that.
Yeah,
I mean, I've been in a position a couple of times like, fuck this, let's kill everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so they're going to go against these teams that have got nothing to play for but their pride.
Ah,
and
Cowboys,
that's a hard thing to beat, man.
The Cowboys. Will they look back at this season and just go, what could it
be? Ooh. Same. Yeah. Yes, 100%.
Their squad's so good.
Yeah.
Their squad's so good. All right, let's go across to Perth. This was the first of the doubleheader. Dolphins get defeated by the Knights 28-30. again, seesawing game, a 10 in the bin for Lachlan Fitzgibbon, Kalen Ponga, the star of the show.
Yeah, right. First of all, if we get a little bit of hate from Perth because we don't, you know, we just say, oh, Origin goes there and that's all they turn up for.
Yeah.
It's 50,000 there.
50,000 people.
For a double header on an NRL club game. So yeah. I will retract all my comments and say, yeah, put a team in Perth. Yep. If they're going to show up like this,
yeah,
in like, hey, I get it with everyone shows up for Origin. It's an event.
Yeah,
it's a spectacle.
Yeah, yeah.
This ain't a spectacle.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
Yeah.
And they showed up. Yeah, usually when before Optus Oval was built, it was usually at another ground. It was never at Subiaco or anything like that. It was at another ground where they could only hold 15 to 20,000 and they'd pack that out. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably all you're going to get.
Yeah.
Fucking 50,000.
50,000.
So
do you reckon it's expats or it's just
there's a lot of Kiwis over there. There's a lot of miners over there. Because
the other thing is they haven't – Rabbitohs, big club obviously, but the other three –
The Dolphins aren't.
With all due respect, the Dolphins, Knights and Sharks – aren't the biggest supporter bases.
This is not like we've got our top four teams going over there.
No.
An Origin game. We've got four teams over there that are pretty like decent teams, but they're not like, you know, your household name's probably only Latrell Mitchell and Kalen Ponga.
Kalen Ponga,
That's I think that's – if you got a guy who supports AFL, you'd be like, who do you know in these four teams? They're like, Latrell.
Yeah, yeah.
And KP. That's
50,000 tickets.
But 50,000, man, I thought it was good. Knights showed some balls, man.
Do you think as a player – I've spent a bit of time in Perth. I reckon it'd be a pretty grouse place.
Just the travelling would kill me, man.
Yeah, travel.
To actually live there and play there, I wouldn't have a problem with.
Yeah.
But it's a fucking 8 games I've got to travel for.
Yeah.
5-hour flight.
It's a 5-hour flight every time.
Climatise for that shit, acclimate, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. It takes about 2 or 3 days. So you'd be doing a lot of travelling, man. So like, even like speaking to good friends of Nick Natnui, he goes, it's fucking hard, man. It's hard to be like on, and it's hard to like, you know, you got a whole season there, right? 26 games to be focused for 26 games. Yeah. You got to be professional as hell.
Yeah.
You know, like all the little 1%ers would come into play.
And what the general public probably don't see is a lot of those flights are sort of after games at midnight and stuff.
You ain't in business either.
Rank hours, isn't
it? You're not
it?
In business.
Yeah. Do you fit in economy? I don't fit in economy.
No, I don't. Give me an exit.
We need some separate rules. So the Knights, they're into the eight. They've done it. They're in the eight. They're sitting seventh.
It's good home.
With a good run home.
They've got the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I think they've got the Dragons in there as well. Good run home for the Knights.
Well, they probably sat around the table and had these meetings about 6 weeks ago and just they all have said, this is what we need to win.
Yeah.
This is what we need to do. And they've done it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can easily fall out because, as I said, like they're going to play against some teams that are you're fighting for pride, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Bulldogs, you know, we can't mathematically make the eight. You know, no one's going to throw the towel in any team. You're out there. You're playing for some players and some, you know, in some teams, you're not contracted next year. You don't have a home next year.
There's a lot
so
to
you
play
are playing for your livelihood. So
yeah.
You're going to go out there in the last four games and try and impress and try and get a contract for next year. So that's just because the team can't make it. You've got players out there, about 6 or 7 players, that are playing for their livelihoods. So that's when you see a different sort of desperation.
Mm. And just on the Dolphins quickly, obviously they take the loss here, but they turned up. It's proving to be a long season for the Dolphins now, right?
It is. It is, mate. You know, they're running out of troops, man.
Yeah, big time.
You know, they just haven't – you know, they've probably had about 23 NRL players who probably used well over 30.
Mm.
You know, so it's a credit to those guys. They've had a great year. You know, losing that game against the Bulldogs last week would have really just fucking would have put a bit of a downer on the whole year, sucked in. But you know, losing that game, you know, because they probably would have had a little bit more to play for this one.
Yeah,
even though they mathematically still could have made it, but the Knights they're on a bit of a run, man. Not sure how much of a dent they can make if they do get in the eight.
Yeah, if they make the eight, which it looks like they probably will, they've still got Dragons, they've got the Bulldogs, and they've got Souths and Sharks. So they should win two or four, maybe 3 or 4. If they make the eight, Adam O'Brien safe?
Yes. Yeah. I think he should be safe anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like
there's not a lot of coaches out there, is there?
No, there's not. Yeah. And even if there are being assistant coaches and everything like that, a lot of them won't put their hand up and try and take the big job. A few will that have already coached first grade.
Yeah.
But if you're just a young assistant, you rarely see a younger kid come out and go, right, I want that job.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on it,
tough
man.
Tough job there too. Yeah. All right. This was the upset of the round. This is the big one. Sharks. Did you?
Yeah.
Sharks 26 defeat Rabbitohs 16. Do you reckon Gus is like sitting back chuckling up? He throws a cat amongst the pigeons and it kind of throws him. I didn't see this coming.
I saw it coming because I know what Sharks are like. Sharks have been a top four team all year.
Yeah.
And the last 4 weeks, they've just been abysmal. And the coaching that they have with Craig Fitzgibbon, they would have had some home truths coming into this game. There's a lot to play for this game, and so they were all in. And you could tell by their defence, and they were back to their old ways. Nico Hines was very dominant.
Yeah,
he's the key, man. He's the key. He's the one who has to get that ship back on track because he needs to dominate the ball, do what he does on the weekend, be involved in everything. And he did. So hats off to the Sharks. That's a big win. That got their season back.
Huge. And now this is almost a case of there's, what, 6-7 clubs fighting for two positions in that bottom part of the top eight. They're nearly all shitting the bed. Yeah. Like the Eels nearly lost to the Dragons. The Raiders nearly lost to the Tigers. Mm. Rabbitohs do lose. Cowboys do lose. Manly do lose.
Like if you're the Knights, you're like, yes. Doing?
Yeah,
yes,
everyone's falling over.
Yes.
It's the final hurdle and everyone's hit it. And the Knights are just running to the finish line. Holy shit.
The Knights nearly lost this game, you know? It was a solid game.
Yeah, I was just watching it going, there's a bit of pressure on these teams fighting for the eight and it's getting to all of them.
Yes.
Souths now need to win two, maybe three of their last four, and they don't have an easy run.
No.
They don't have an easy run, and it finishes.
They can not make the eight.
They can miss the eight, yeah.
Wow.
They could miss the eight. And
no Tom Burgess, good for a man, Tommy.
You know what it may come down to? Last round, they play Roosters, and they'll probably need a win.
And just say the Roosters win every single game, right?
Yeah.
And the Rabbits drop a couple. This could be for the eighth spot.
Yeah.
Crazy. Hopefully. It's crazy. Man. These are one of those like years, like just say with the Bulldogs, right? They're on 20 points of Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So you could count on one hand, you've dropped five games easy that they should have won.
Yeah.
There's 30 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is where you can't put an old head on young shoulders and just say every game is so fucking important. So when you're not sitting in round 20 fucking four and you're going, fuck, remember that game we should have won? Remember that game we should have won?
Yeah.
We'd be on 32 points and coming what? Six?
Yeah, that would have
Do you know what I mean?
32 points have you fourth.
That's what I'm saying. So you can sit on one hand and even like, you're probably sitting there going, fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's what I'm saying. It's hard to put an old head on young shoulders. You go, every game counts.
I've kind of quietly got my fingers crossed to that Rabbitohs-Roosters game.
Mm.
Comes down to an important game. All right, Eels-Dragons again. I thought the Eels had shit the bed in this one. They weren't looking good first half. They come back. The big talking point was the no try to Jacob Little. So Gutherson strips at the ball.
Oh, yes.
Little picks it back up and scores.
You think it was a try?
I think it was a try. It would have taken them, at the time they were up 20-10, that would have taken them 26-10 and almost puts them out of range for Parramatta.
Well, I was watching it and I was just like, well, what is Gutho supposed to hang on to?
True. Yeah, good
that's,
point.
That's what I'm thinking.
Good
like
point. Yeah, yeah.
His hands on the ball, does he just let go of it? Of course he's going to hold on and just try and rip down as much as he can in a position. Does he look like he's in a raking position? Yeah. But if that was on his jersey first, and then he found the ball and then ripped it, there you go. It's a straight strip.
Yeah.
But if it's just because he just reached around and all he did grab was the ball, and just momentum goes like that, right? What's his arm supposed to do? Stay there?
Yeah. I'm trying to think what his other arm was doing.
He was just hanging on. Like he just wasn't doing anything. So his body just was going down like that. It's just momentum, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying if he had any other part of his body and then he got the ball and then he ripped it, that's a rake.
Yeah.
But because I think that's the way I interpret it anyway.
My thought on it was if that happens on the 50-meter line and that happens, they probably let Little pick it up and play on and you never think of it again. But because it was a try-scoring situation, it goes to the video ref and the video ref looks at it frame by frame by frame by frame and goes. But it was a 50-50 and as a Bulldogs fan and as a Bulldogs staff member, you probably know.
I was going for the Dragons.
When you're at a struggling side, those 50-50s never go your way. Never.
No.
Forget about it. We saw the same thing happen to the Tigers. Later.
When they kept replaying it, I was like, this is not a try.
He's in trouble. Yeah, he's in trouble. But the Dragons look great.
Yeah, they were good, weren't they? Ravalawa.
Ravalawa had the game of his career. Zach Lomax, whatever Flanagan whispered in Zach Lomax's ear.
Yeah. He's a talent, man. He always has been a talent. You just got to get, you got to extract the best out of him. You got to know what ticks. I think Flanagan will make him pretty.
Would you put him fullback?
No.
Sloan fullback still?
Sloan's a gun.
Yeah.
He's good, man.
Yeah.
He's just got to start building some combinations, man.
They're talking about giving Lomax the off-season at fullback. I don't know what happened with Lomax where they went from, he was having.
The other side centre. Hey? He went to right side. He went to left side centre, didn't he?
Yeah, he switched sides. Yeah, that was weird. So he went from having 6 runs a game, averaging like 60 metres. Now he's having 18 runs a game, averaging 200 metres. Like,
it's good.
It's just...
Well, you want your best player to get the ball mostly.
Yeah.
Or get him involved sometimes. Or give him some goals. Give him some goals. I want you minimum 15 touches because out of 15, you're probably going to do 3 or 4 good things.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, so you just, so it's the law of averages, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to get 20 touches like with a talent like that, you're probably going to get 3 or 4 fucking great things.
I have a question for you. It came up in both these games. Both games came down to a final play where the team behind, Dragons and Tigers, have one final play to even the score or to win the game.
Mm.
In both games, Ben Hunt just puts up a speculator, kicks it, Parramatta catch it, and the game's over. Luke Brooks did the same in their game, kicked it. They ended up batting it back and went around a little bit. But if you've got one play to go...
How far out were they?
Dragons were like 40 out, 50 out.
It's hard to
Tigers were like 20 out. I just think it kicks a low percentage.
Low, yeah, but it's
hard. You barely see them come off.
What you need to understand is how desperate defences are.
Yeah.
You are moving quicker than ever. You're onto everything. Everyone's covering kicks. You've got people in different positions where you're trying to block the kick. You've got other people putting pressure on the person with the ball. Everyone's in a straight line. There's no stagger.
Yeah.
It's fucking hard to get through, especially if it's the last play and you're in the lead. You're all – it's desperation levels
where
you've got the ball. You pretty much run near someone, they're going to get you.
Yeah,
they're good.
Yeah,
they're all fucking top-notch defenders, and they're all at that level of desperation. So when it's all desperations, all fucking hands on, all cards in, all that kind of stuff, that mentality.
Yeah,
it's hard for someone to make a line break to get it. Even if you run and you try and get an offload, that guy's got clamps on you straight away.
Yeah,
so you try and skip around as much as you can. That's all you could do. And then the last option's a kick, mate.
Yeah,
and trying to prey on that guy making a mistake.
Yeah,
and it's hard to get a good kick in because you've got the guys right on you. And so everyone's pretty much man coverage, right? Pressed on everything. Yeah. Everyone's got a job.
Zoned in,
you're not sitting there going, you know what I mean? And then you've got a fatigue factor where the guys in who have got the ball fatigued as fuck. The defense fatigued as fuck.
Yeah.
And you just gotta go, you just gotta just close it in, finish.
Do you have a play? Do you have a Hail Mary play that you practice?
The Hail Mary is the kick.
Okay.
You gotta put a you gotta hope
because the Tigers one in particular was from a set restart. So I think they got a penalty, a drop or whatever it was. I think
you could have a set play there. They could have come up with something better on that.
So they just tap and Brooks kicks it and I was like,
that looks stupid.
The kick and they were what, 15 metres out. I was like,
that was probably the more disappointing one, the Tigers.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you could have put something on.
Something,
because you do have all these little trick plays.
Yeah.
They do have Benji and Robbie Farah as their coaches, so they've got trick plays coming out their ass.
Yeah.
But that's just communication and that's pressure.
Yeah. All right, let's go to that game. There's not much more to say about the Eels-Dragons. Eels roll on. Dragons obviously done for the season.
What are the
season,
Eels coming now? Sorry, ninth?
So the Eels are ninth. Yep. Equal points with South. They've got a buy up their sleeve. They've got a tough run home. Mm. They're just in that dogfight.
They've had an arsehole of a draw.
They're just in an absolute dogfight for this bottom part of the eight. Which, you know what? For the first time in a couple of years, I'm still super invested in a lot of these games.
Yeah.
I usually get to this point in the season.
But hurry up.
And I start watching a few games just going rat's ass, like just...
Nah, every game's like even this whole weekend. I was like, I watch every single game. Well, you do every weekend anyway, but I'm like everything live too. Sometimes I'll just watch it on like a replay or something like that, but I watch everything live. This is what happens when you get a little bit old and you don't go out. That's what I'm saying. I watch every fucking game. When you don't want to do anything on Super Saturday, you go from 3 to 5:30 to 7:30 to fucking bed.
Mate, if I said to my girlfriend, all right, I'm going to sit here and watch all three games, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, that's
three in a row?
That's what I get. They just go in the other room. I'm just like, come and talk to me. And in between, I watch YouTube.
So you've
got that half an hour thing and I'll just watch something cool on YouTube, then go back.
I'm into a bit of the sports docos at the moment. I've been watching that Heaps. Quarterbacks.
Yeah, same.
Can I just, with the quarterbacks, do they have to pick like
Mariota,
boring guys?
But Mariota didn't even finish the year.
Yeah. But couldn't they have picked like, where's the, I'm watching it going, partying, girls,
my homeboy,
drugs.
My homeboy's like, cool because he's the best, right?
Yeah.
But I would have got two. Get Lamar Jackson.
Get
please.
A loose one.
Get Lamar. I mean, I don't think they're all, I don't think they're that loose and they'll never really go on that sort of like, you know, never show that sort of life anyway.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Lamar Jackson, right? He's cool as hell.
Yeah, yeah,
get
yeah.
Get Lamar. I mean, obviously they would have asked everybody, right?
There's a contract year for him. That's why I remember all the drivers.
Lamar?
Who's the – so they had the Minnesota Vikings guy was
– Kirk Cousins.
Cousins, who ended up being a good storyline because he was kind of shit then got good.
Yeah,
and
they had RG3 there at the Redskins when they drafted him. They thought he was never going to really play.
Yeah.
Then he's like – he's going like that. He's fucking good.
But I just wanted – I was like, all right, this is going to be sick. Like, I can only imagine what these guys get up to. But they chose like three family men. They were very sensible. I wanted to see some partying, but
yeah. – She's going to put Mahomes as Derek brother on there.
Yeah, so he ended up in jail.
Yeah, he's weird.
He got in trouble, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Got in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, I was looking at that too. I was just
Mahomes' missus is a
hard
big
work,
day.
Man.
She's a big day.
That's hard work right there.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of patience, I do.
Oh, man.
I would have liked to see Justin Herbert or some other young kid. I don't know. Dak Prescott. They're all pretty nerdy, the quarterbacks, man. What they show, right? It's all about their image and stuff like that. So you're never really going to see what they actually do.
I was surprised how much those guys
get some
do.
Fucking linebackers in there or some cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey or some shit like
units.
Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
I want to see those blokes.
I was surprised how much those quarterbacks do away from the main team. They're doing a lot of stuff on their own, like S&C, yeah. Recovery, a lot of...
Yeah, because that's what made me talk about the shape... out of shape players, like when I was talking about diets and stuff like that, because I honestly don't think it's enough, right? What the NRL teams give you is like is just
the bare minimum.
Everybody's getting it.
You
so like,
do it. Yeah.
If you want to be great, you've got to have your own sort of people, man.
Yeah,
you got to come in there, like you got and guys like Travis Tumar, who's our S&C, like he would give you the biggest floggings of all time.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But like. He doesn't see that many. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like not many players are going in there going, can I have these extras? Can I do this? Can I do that?
Yeah.
Where you'd have you'd be doing speed, you'd be speed coaching, heaps of plyometrics, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just to be better. Boxing, all that, you know, all these little one percenters that can get you mentally ahead of the other guys. I remember the Bulldogs, man. Like we'd have a day off, right? And we wouldn't say shit to each other, but we'd all be in there on the day off.
Yeah.
Sonny, Ogre, Bobcat, me. Yeah. Roy, all the guys would be in there, but we'd say, what are you up to? We're like, no, nothing, like for the day off.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'd all incrementally just be at the same place, like in between like different hours. Sonny was just here. Oh, Willie was just here. You know what I mean? So we'd all compete with each other.
Because
iron fucking sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we're days, like, there's no fucking days off.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we'd always do that. We'd always be competing with each other subconsciously. You know what I mean? And when you go out in the field, when we had to train at a level, man, it was fucking near harder than games.
Yeah.
Well, you're trying to run into fucking Sonny Bill in his prime. Roy Asatasi, Ogre, Bobcat.
Yeah.
Like our training, Nate Miles, the young Nate Miles, like our training sessions were sometimes harder than games. You know what I mean? So when we got to the game, it was just like, well, I'm not running into Sonny Bill, am I? Mm. You know what I mean? I'm not running. O'Mealy's not running at me.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I'm not sure where these younger players go. Oh, I'm being getting hammered all day. Like, oh, this is enough. It's like it's not enough.
Yeah.
If you want to be great and you want to be one of the best forwards or best backs or something like, you got to do all this other extra shit. Andrew Johns taught me that shit, man. When I was like 2021, I was in my first Aussie camp. He goes, don't ever think that this is enough, Willie.
It'd be good for the young players to go and watch that quarterbacks, wouldn't it? Because I watched it and my experience is different because I was an individual athlete. I had all my own people and they just were my own people.
Yeah.
I didn't have a team.
Mm.
So you guys have got the team, but just seeing what these quarterbacks do, they're doing so many extras outside of the team environment. For young players to watch that, use them as role models.
Like when I talk to the young SG ball players and Harold Matz, I'm like, what we give you is like you being in school right now. It's the basic curriculum. We're just giving you the basic shit. If you want to be great, if you want to be better, you got to outsource this other shit, man. You want to be one of the best defenders, you got to get other coaches, you got to ask questions, you got to do extra stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what you got to do. It's the basic stuff.
Yeah.
And if you want to just be a basic player, just listen to the coaches because we can't sit there and individualize everything as a coach. You've got to fucking go, oh, Will, I want to work on this. Done. I want to work on this. Gotcha. Go to the weight trainer. Go to the S&C. Yeah, yeah. I need to work on my fitness. I need to work on my agility, my speed, everything like that. It's all there for you.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're going to get the same shit. I don't want to train the same fucking way you do.
Yeah.
I want to get an edge so I'm better than you.
Yeah.
That's the sort of mentality that you need to have. You can't just roll in there, oh, they're so fucking long days, because you're in meetings half the time. Mm. You're in meetings and meetings. I get it. That's part of the game now. You know, the analytics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But just because you're on the field for 2 hours, it ain't like you're flogging them for 2 hours.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bro, it's fucking football.
Yeah.
As I said before at the start, we're like, here's the fucking best job in the world. You're out here competing and playing and fucking having the greatest time and getting – oh, and you're getting paid a fuckload.
Yeah.
I said, I used to think, I said, how the fuck am I getting paid so much to come to train and to hang out with my best mates to actually beat the shit out of these people every single weekend, get in a fight and do whatever the fuck you want, have a beer, and this is our life?
Yeah.
This is the fuck – I'll do this shit for free.
Yeah. It's the best. All right, let's get into this last game. Raiders, Tigers. Raiders get the job done. Tight game. 22-18 over the Tigers. A big contentious call in this one. There was the forward pass to Seb Chris.
Oh, when he went down.
He scored that amazing
try. Mad try, man. Oh, that was a try. Hammy too.
That was
He's peeling off. He got his hammy after that. He come off.
I was intrigued by this one.
I think it was forward. Oregon. Honestly, I've seen some worse ones in the last couple of weeks. If you slow it down, it goes out the back of his hand like that. It goes backwards out of his hand. And then the last bit, it goes forward. Mm. And I think it hit the ground, didn't it?
Hit the ground.
And then it bounced really forward. But it went back out of his hand. So obviously the West Tigers were pissed off at that.
Yeah. Well, Tigers fans, I mean, it's one of those things, right? Again, the lower clubs just never get those calls. For whatever reason, it just
But
happens.
We did. The Bulldogs did against the Dolphins when that pass was 4 metres forward.
Oh, yeah, the Sexton one.
So
yeah,
unlucky. Yeah.
Fuck, we'll take it. How many have we got against us? Yeah, yeah, we'll take
but
it.
But I'm saying that you can't whinge about that because we got it and the Tigers didn't get it.
I feel a bit sorry for the Tigers just because I don't think the latter is a true representation of their effort over the length of the season. Like, yeah, they've been shit, but they're still – like, I was surprised. They turned up for this game, Canberra, Sunday arvo. That'd be a shit of a trip. It's freezing cold, nothing to play for. They probably should have won this game.
As I said, you got pride to play for and you got your livelihood to play for. So if you look at the whole scheme of things, you're like, this is why you see teams competing for the whole year because people are in different positions in their life. You could be like on your last legs, right?
Yep.
You could be fighting for a contract. You could have a 3-year deal in your pocket.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like everyone's different. So you can probably see how they play too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Corrissier, begun. He was in everything, try assist, tackle breaks. If it's been reported that he's on 650.
I think he
should
be on
a bargain.
I think he's on more than that.
Yeah, okay.
He'd be on more.
I'm
than
just
that.
Going off that.
Because I reckon the Panthers could afford him if he's on 6. I think he's on about 8.
Okay.
And if not, he should be.
And he just re-signed for a further 2 years as well.
Well, hopefully.
So he's extended.
Man, he's close to $1 million player in my eyes.
Gun. Absolute gun.
Top 3 hooker in the game.
Yeah. Raiders. Now, Greg Alexander came out on SEN and said that he thinks the Raiders won't win one more game this season.
So you hate Ricky Stewart?
Yeah. I don't know.
Ricky must have picked on him on a kangaroo tour in 92 kangaroo tour.
Yeah. They've got a mixed draw, like a couple of hard games, a couple of easy games. But again, they're in that battle for the bottom two positions. They're sitting in fifth. But they're only one win ahead of the Sharks, the Rabbitohs, the Eels, the Cowboys. So they're fair in that battle.
I mean, they'd back themselves against us in a couple of weeks, wouldn't they? They've got the Bulldogs.
You'd think so. Yeah, you know, they've got the Bulldogs.
I mean, I'm not saying
they've got the Storm in. They've got the Storm in Melbourne, but they've got a great track record in Melbourne.
Yeah.
They're Melbourne's bogey team.
Surely they win two out of that four.
Who else have they got? They got the Broncos. So they got the Broncos and Storm.
Storm, Bulldogs, and
They finish off with the Sharks in Cronulla.
It's going to be hard.
Oof.
There's no guarantees. As I said, they could easily lose all four, or they could win about three or four. Or they could win all four.
Yeah. The thing I keep thinking when I see these draws for these different teams is like, if you're not winning two or three of those final four games, you're just making up the numbers in the bottom half of the eight anyway. You're just going to get pumped. So whoever we end up with could be Sharks, could be Knights, could be Rabbitohs, Eels, Cowboys, Eagles, all in the hunt still. Whoever you end up with,
the Sharks Canberra game is going to tell a lot, and the Roosters and Souths in the last round.
That's big.
It's going to go. No one's going to be like guaranteed a top eight spot till those games are played.
Yeah, That's massive.
That's what I reckon.
Sweet. All right, that's a wrap of the round, Mace. Big round. A couple of big rounds to come. And Scope will be back in the seat. When's Scope back?
Tomorrow.
All right.
So I think it'd be a tough carry coming home, I reckon.
They have the horrors.
All right. Massive.
All righty. Thanks for having me, boys. Been a pleasure.
Yeah, appreciate it. Cheers, mate.